Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey listener, and welcome back to Injury Time, your one-stop shop for everything Indian football. A new season is just around the corner, and how can we be so far away from that? So here we are with the third season of this podcast, and joining me today is our old friend Sandeep on a phone call. Hello Sandeep.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. And making his debut on our show is Nitin. Hello, Nitin.
Hey, Naveen and Sandeep. Good to be here.
A new season, quite a lot to talk about because, as you know, in India, the pre-season or the off-season is much more longer than the in-season. Irony there. So diving right into it, first up is the AFC Cup competition, Sandeep. Your team, Bengaluru FC, out of the competition. What do you make of it? A loss over two legs, a 5-2 aggregate?
I think it's not my team.
You're from Bangalore, okay. You're from Bangalore, so it's your team.
Yeah, I'm from Kerala, but I was in Bangalore. To be honest, I don't think it was a deserved loss for BSC. I think they played the second half of the first leg a little bit better than they did in any other three halves. They were totally outplayed. I think they played into the hands of the opponents a little bit because in the pre-match press conference, Carlos Cuadra, the new manager for Bengaluru FC, he said that they're going to sit back and then try to hit you on the counter because they're fast forward. And knowing that, they went in, they kind of, you know, played into their hands a little bit. The opponents just kept keeping the ball in behind a little bit through, in, you know, in between the lines, and they just took it from there. It was not a great performance, a little bit rusty also. Their first competitive match in quite a while, so I think that also takes a little bit of adjustment there.
Well, Nitin, this match was against Altın Nasır of Turkmenistan, the intercontinental semi-final of the AFC Cup. I don't know if you caught the first half, but second half, I know you're telling me you caught a glimpse of the highlights. What did you make of the whole competition?
Yeah, I did not get to see the entire match, but I did catch the highlights of the second leg. But from what I saw, Bangalore seemed a bit rugged and rusty, and Altın played them around. They dominated most of the proceedings. So I understand that they have got a new coach with Carlos Cuadra, and they've got a host of new signings. They've lost John Johnson in the summer, so it's going to be difficult for them to cope up when the new season gets underway. But having said that, I felt that they could have done better, and they really need to step up the game if they want to challenge for the ISL title when the season begins.
Well, guys, both of you spoke about a new coach coming in and he taking time to set into this side, but Carlos has been around with Bengaluru for quite some time in the role of an assistant to Alberto Roca. But so do you think that is a valid reason, a valid excuse here?
No, not really. The thing is, I think one of the major reasons is this match comes straight off, you know, from pre-season. They don't have a season going on. It's not halfway through the season. The players are not fit. Gurpreet made two mistakes, which kind of very blatant mistakes, the kind of things that we kind of don't expect from him because he's a very good goalkeeper. That obviously affected them. Rino Anto is coming back from, you know, injury, and then he's had two, three teams away from the team. He seemed a little out of it. Khabra seemed a little out of it coming back from chicken pox. Gurpreet as well had chicken pox earlier while they were in Spain. And so all these things affected them. Like, you know, John Johnson being not there is a big difference because he was a leader. And now you have Rahul Beke, who's done a good job, commendable job from his part. The Dimas not being there was a big miss because Cisco has to show a lot more if he wants to be considered on the same level as Dimas, because Dimas kind of controls the tempo. Maybe that is another reason why BSC went a little direct football than possession football, because you saw Kurpi taking long goal kicks and Patalu going all the way up to the front to see if he can flick it on, all those kind of things. It takes some time for Carlos obviously to get the players, rally them together. Bet in the new ones, like Keane Lewis looks like a very interesting signing. He was trying to make things happen. He seems like a good player to have in the squad. So it will take some time, but I think they'll be ready for the ISL.
All right, that about the AFC Cup, Sandeep giving his insights into what went wrong for Bengaluru FC this time around. Hey, listener, let us just remind you one thing. Coming season, Bengaluru won't be a part of this competition because, as we all know, that it is Chennai NFC, the champions of the ISL, going into that AFC Cup playoff, while I-League winners Minerva Punjab FC will be going in for that AFC Champions League playoffs. No Bengaluru in Asia for a year at least. Well, let's just hope that that gives the team an extra incentive to go ahead and clinch that ISL title, which will result in this team being part of the AFC Cup competition in a year's time, in 2 years' time, I would say. Well, moving on from continental club competition to subcontinental national team competition, we are talking about the SAF Cup. The India Under-23 team, Nathan, will be a part of this competition that begins next week. What do you make of the chances this time around?
Yeah, India come in as defending champions and they are, if I'm not mistaken, the most successful side in the SAF Cup.
I think so.
So, yeah, there will be a lot of pressure going into the tournament, but Stephen Constantine has named a very young squad for this tournament.
And it's so, an under-23 side, so they will be young.
Exactly. So we don't have Sunil Chhetri, we don't have Gurpreet. So a lot of the senior players will not be present. But I would really like to see Udanta, Anirudh Thapa, Vishal Kair step up to the plate and, you know, prove their worth to Constantine with ahead of the AFC Asian Cup in January. So I think this tournament in particular will be a big opportunity for the youngsters to impress the head coach and probably stake a claim in the squad when the AFC Cup kicks off.
Well, Sandeep, do you think it's the right move to go into a competition like this with your under-23 team, not selecting any of your senior team members for this match?
Yeah, I think so. Because as like a small plug for our injury time extra, we had an interview with Sunil Chhetri who spoke on the podcast. And he said, SAF Cup is a little bit like, if you win, they're like, ha, so har saal jeete types. And if you lose, it's a big deal. So sending an under-23 side into a competitive environment where they can, you know, they can even stake a claim for the Asian Cup squad if they do well here, especially people like Anirudh Thapa and all. Udanta, I think, is more or less sure to go there. But Anirudh Thapa and Vishal Kate as well, we have a few good goalkeepers now. So it's a good chance for all of them to go and show what they can do. Take the pressure of the competition on their own shoulders, because normally it's the senior players who carry it. Like, now they are the ones who have to do it. So I think it's a good move.
Well, guys,
they also don't have Afghanistan, I think, so it's not going to be the hardest performance.
Absolutely, no Afghanistan also this time around. But Sandeep, this might be the under-23 team, but they do not lack on front of experience, isn't it? Thapa was part of that intercontinental competition, a few of the other members as well.
Yeah, I think Udanta was also part of the squad going in into the SAF Cup. And for him, I think it will be a big, big one, because he is the man that we are looking at thinking he's going to be the next breakout star in Indian football.
Well, we've been saying that for quite some time.
Yeah, and I think over the last year, he's proved not so much with numbers, but with performance. He's always influenced him. He's always been able to make something happen, assist or pass just before the assist or something like that. So for him, this is a big, big tournament.
Well, talking about influence, how can we not talk about influence that injury time has had? Do we have any influence of things that happen in India? Let's just hope that we do. Moving on to the news that we have, and the I-League kicks off in October. Anyone excited there?
Yeah, of course.
Sandeep is excited. Okay, I see one voice coming in. Yes, of course. So talking more about I-League, Sandeep, we also hear that Churchill Brothers and DSK Shivajians have their appeal in front of the AIFF. Could you just tell us more about that? What is this appeal all about and what are they asking for this time?
Yeah, DSK Shivajians are asking for entry into the youth league. So they are having, the AIFF will have sent some people and check their academy and stuff like that to see if that slot can be given. Churchill Brothers is interesting because they applied to come back into the I-League following their relegation last season. And the application is on the basis that the Goan clubs, the Goa football will not have a representation on the first division if Churchill Brothers go out. And that's obviously not good for the club culture and football culture there. And also that the Indian Arrows, who finished below them, were exempt from relegation, so they were not the last team and they still got relegated. But I think, you know, when you're fiddling around with relegation and stuff like that, it's not really a good thing. Because we did it with Aizawl and it became a great story, but then it's kind of given license for other clubs to go and ask for the same.
Well, Aizawl won the title that season, isn't it, Sandeep? And that's not the case with Churchill.
Absolutely. I mean, they also put forth the same argument that they played good football and why are we relegated and a lot of clubs are being exempted from relegation that season. Same thing continues now. And you know, three Goa clubs pulled out of the I-League at once, I think.
Absolutely. I remember that time.
Yeah. So on the back of that, Churchill had a very poor season, and then now they want to come back. I mean, I get the point that we need to get more and more teams into the I-League. So I honestly don't know what is the right way to go about this. But overturning relegation every single year or every other year is not something that I think gives any credence to the league. Because what is the consequence if you run a club in a bad way on and off the field?
Well, more on that as we go about our job on Injury Time in the coming weeks. Well, moving on with the news on this episode, the ISL kicks off on the 29th of September, Nitin. And the biggest news coming in from that league is Jamshedpur is all but signed Tim Cahill. Does that make sense? 38-year-old coming in a team. Does he add anything to it?
Well, I was a big fan of Tim Cahill when he was playing for the Premier League, especially with Everton. He's done a lot of good things with Everton and the Australian national team. But looking at where he is in his career, he's 38 years old, he's past his twilight. I don't think there is a lot that he can offer in the Indian Super League. But he does, one thing which I do believe will work in his favour is that he does have a goal-scoring threat. And I think that will always remain with him. So maybe that is one of the primary reasons why Jamshedpur looked at him. On the whole, I think they could have gone in for a much, much more economical signing. They could have made a couple more signs with the money they're using on Cahill. So I think they could have done better, but let's see how it pans out.
But guys, at the age of 38, how much of game time are you expecting from this man? Let's just not forget that he's 38 and he's nearing 40, which means the age is taking a toll on him. He's on the wrong side of 30s.
Yeah, so with this season, the ISL teams are going to be playing at least two games a week because there's a game every single day owing to the AFC Cup, which is happening in January. So looking at the schedule, is going to be difficult for the players to cope up physically. And given Cahill's age, he's 38 years old, he is going to have a hard time. Even though the Indian football is slightly at a lower pace than what he was used to before. But I still feel he's going to have a hard time.
Sandeep, Indian football could be low on pace, but the temperatures in this country and the time at which the matches are played, do you think Cahill moving to Jamshedpur is the right thing to go about?
They obviously signed him looking at a lot of things off the field as well. I think he will provide a decent goal return in that sense because he's still a threat in the air. I don't think anybody here can challenge him for how good he is as a player who attacks the ball in the air. Like John Johnson was one of the best ones that we've seen in a long time, but this guy was doing it at the Premier League level, so obviously, I think he's going to be in amongst goals. But yeah, it's actually a punishing grind also because the matches that we saw, it's thick and fast and they've got like big breaks and then you have to kind of, your fitness has to go down, then you have to peak again. You have to do this 2-3 times because of the break. So I think that would be more harder for him at this age.
Well, that about Tim Cahill in Indian Super League. Now, moving on to the topic of discussion on this episode of Injury Time. Guys, over the past few weeks, we have heard news is coming in regarding the age group teams in India. The under-19 team registered win over Argentina and the under-16 team had a fruitful outing in West Asia. But my question to both of y'all today, Nitin and Sandeep, is it right for the Federation to spend numerous amount of money on age group teams on the name of exposure trips? Well, before I hear from both of y'all, I had an opportunity to speak to Orko Bhattacharya, who writes for Scroll, a guy who has done extensive reportage on this. Let's listen into what he had to say.
Hello, Orko, and thanks a lot for joining us on Injury Time today. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Naveen. Thank you for having me.
Orko, today we are discussing a pretty important topic that you have written quite extensively over the past few months and years. It is about the IFAB, the national body of football in India, spending haphazardly on age group teams and sending them on numerous exposure trips. We know you have written extensively on it. Could you tell our listeners what exactly is the AIFF doing and what is the idea behind this? What do they have in mind spending this much amount of money on the age group sides of the country?
Right, Naveen. So what they're doing, the AIFF, is sending multiple teams across the world on so-called exposure tours. So on exposure tours, you play a few matches with local teams in the countries that you visit. So for example, the under-23s which are going to play the SAF Cup, are touring Australia. And they played two teams there, winning one and losing a match. At the moment, the under-20 team has just come back. The under-16 team of Vivianos is going to play the AFC Championship next month. Is also, you know, in the process of, you know, having its final exposure tour. And the under-15 team, if I'm not wrong, beat Besiktas. So that's four. Then we saw the women also going on an exposure tour. So the idea behind this is that they want to build a pipeline of players using this. They don't want to do this only for one age group. They want to do this for multiple age groups, so that, you know, there is no difference between the batches that came before them and after them in terms of exposure. Right. So, question here is that how much do the exposure tools help them? Because we saw the under-17 team do the same thing in a build-up to a World Cup. And, you know, everything said and done, the under-17 team only scored one goal in its three matches, losing all the three matches. So, I mean, there are other better ways to do it. Exposure tools just seem like throwing bad money after good. So, I mean, I for one, am very skeptical about how the exposure tools will develop a player at such a late stage of his development. Football development starts at 6. So, having how much can exposure tools help these kids, it's difficult to say.
Orko, isn't this pretty unusual when you compare teams, the national teams and the club teams across the world, where the National Federation is sending an age group team out on an exposure tour rather than letting them be with their clubs and develop as players along with the at the club and then select them to the national team?
So, I mean, it's not just India. A few countries, I think, I remember Singapore having a team in its league similar to the Arrows called the Singapore Lions. But you're right, you're right. So, if you take the example of any under-17 player that played in India last year, they are now competing for a first team spot at their clubs or going out on loan, which is the worldwide, you know, which is the norm worldwide. So, if you look at a Jan Fietar, or if you look at Phil Foden, who's breaking out at Man City, these people also played in the World Cup last year, and, you know, at the under-17 level, what's required is for them to sit and fight for their positions, fight for their chances in the first team, rather than, you know, sit back and have it handed to them via another team. So, it's pretty clear to me that, you know, clubs here aren't willing to take a punt on these players, which is why the whole need for an entirely different system to give them the requisite game time. Stephen Gonchina himself in his press conference has talked about the fact that under-23s are undergoing, you know, this exposure tour because if I will take the stats from last year, only 7 players have under 21 have played more than 50% of their minutes for their team in the ISL, which is India's, if I can say, it has more national team players than the I-League. So, this is definitely an aberration that we are seeing here. And, in my mind, it would be better if they stayed at their clubs and fought for their spots. Because that's what the clubs worldwide do. Or send them out on loan. But, yeah, this is my theory.
Orko, with respect to India, could this also be a problem that stems down from the club system in India not having age group teams and not allowing their age group teams, their age group sides to have enough matches so that these players during their developing years have enough game time under their belt? So when they reach a phase where they have to compete for a slot in the first team, they do not lack on the front of game time.
You're right, Navin. So every, worldwide, what we expect to see is that elite players, they play, 300, 400. I mean, even if not to quantify, I just say a lot of games by the time they're 15. And this is not something that's done. So here what happens is that we've developed national leagues. We developed a national under 13 league. We developed a national under 15, under 18 league. But the hyper local league, let's say Delhi under 13 league, is it as pronounced a Delhi under 8 league or a Tamil Nadu under 10 league? Is it as pronounced? So at a Tamil Nadu under 10 league, let's take a small area in Chennai, let's say North Chennai, where a lot of footballers come from. Does that place have a defined league of its own with hyper local teams? The answer is no. So this is a major concern that I have, that we are building from the top bottom again. That we have national age group league, but we don't have, you know, youth sides playing hyper locally within 5 kilometers of each other, which should be the practice ideally, right? Because if I was to take a team to the nationals, I know, under 13 team, I'd be spending a considerable amount on them, and for the same amount, I think 10 games of the nationals, flight, everything, accommodation included, I would probably play a lot more matches hyper locally for that, right? And you know, with more competition comes improvement. It's undisputed. The competition effect works at all across the world. There's no difference here.
Orko, you also spoke about Bibiano's team having a decent enough run and Floyd Pinto's team also going and creating some sort of news, though it was not as what it was projected by the Indian media. Do you see these guys who play in these teams today go and create a significant impact and knock at the doors of the senior team in a few years' time?
So here's the thing, right? Senior teams are not built from one or two age groups. They're built across age groups. The Asian Cup team that's going has Khetri as its oldest member, who's 33, about to be 34. And you have the youngest, I think, Gary Lalrinzona, if I'm not mistaken, who's 19, 20. So this team is spread across 13, 14 years. So, if, for me to make one age group team the fulcrum of any senior team, it just doesn't work out. You look at the World Cup winning teams, they're spread across ages. So, I mean, they can definitely make an improvement. Bibiano's team, maybe some couple of guys from there, Floyd Pinto's team, a couple of guys from there. Maybe they can. But am I, you know, more better off, you know, spreading that money, you know, creating hyperlocal intervention with that amount? Yes, I definitely say so. Right? If you read Arthur Sherman's economics, after a time he's quoted a few figures. You know, I would urge you to go check it out. If I was to take that figure and I'll spend it on more competitions at grassroots level, if I used to spread it on one particular place, I definitely, you know, impact many more footballers using that money. So, yeah, I think, you know, return versus, you know, investment, I'm just not comfortable with the ratio that's currently, you know, that we're seeing currently.
Well, Orko, all we can do is hope that this ratio changes and we start concentrating more on hyperlocal leagues and local leagues to begin with and have a bottom-up approach rather than a top-down approach that we have today. Thanks a lot, Orko, for joining us. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Mahin. Thank you for letting me air my views.
Well, guys, that was Orko sharing his thoughts on what the Federation is going about doing its business with the age group teams in India. Sandeep, coming to you first, do you agree with whatever Orko had to say?
Yeah, he obviously made a lot of good points. And I do agree with almost everything that he said. You know, especially the last point when he spoke about spending money on the academies and the local leagues instead of sending youngsters abroad, especially at the younger ones. At under 20 level, whatever you're learning is more tactical than technical at that point. So I think that is okay at that age to go out and play against, you know, hopefully national teams, not so much club teams, because I really don't know how you can compare. Let's say you beat Victoria Setubal, the youth team, and say, okay, we beat them. Like, we don't know what the quality is of the team. But hopefully they can play national teams. But the more important thing for me personally would be to put more money into the grassroots, get better players, educate them better, like a little bit like what TFA has done, who's provided so many players for the national team. So if you can have more of those kind of, structure and institutions working around, like that, it will be better.
Nathan, your thoughts on the same. Do you think this is the right way to go about training and nurturing your young birds in the country?
Yeah, I agree with more or less of what Sandeep and Orko had said. I feel that sending young kids on exposure trips at this age, I don't think that the return on investment is going to be quite enough to, you know, to justify this. And I feel that we can do much better by implementing more grassroots campaigns in India. So if we take that route, I think that would be more helpful for us in the longer term. But the only aspect that I think where AFF has done well is that these kids will get a lot of exposure, you know, playing in countries like Spain and the rest of Europe, which they won't have in India. So I think that's the only positive that I see from this exposure trips. But apart from that, I think we can spend our money more on grassroots development in India.
And it's also, you know, good PR at the end of the day. You beat Argentina, you play well against Jordan. They even had a problem by saying that they beat Italy, even if it's not the Italian team. So it's also a lot to do with the PR and to show kind of like, okay, we're doing this and that. Which I understand that you have to do it if you're trying to make take a claim as one of the rising sports in the country.
Well, it might be good for PR, but not that much good for the development of youth players in the country. Well, hey listener, you heard what our panelists had to say about it and also what Orko had to say about the same topic. Do you agree with it? Or do you have another thought on the same? You can always write to us at injurytimeindia@gmail.com. You can always tweet to us at injurytimeind. Like and follow us on Facebook. Our address is facebook.com/injurytimeind. Well, that's all for this episode of Injury Time. I hope you all had a good time. And thanks for staying with us this long. Until we meet again, have a great week and enjoy the game.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.